Let me put on my glasses so I can see. Or no telling what may come out in Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 22. We are setting the stage. We are laying the foundation for when we get into the book of Revelation, which is coming shortly. Matthew 24, 22. We're going to continue where we left off. I hope you have something to write with to take a few notes that you don't have on the printout. Verse 22, and if those days, underline the word days, we'll get back to that in a moment. And if those days of tribulation, remember we are in the 7-year tribulation period. The rapture has already taken place. The church is with the Lord Jesus Christ in their resurrected, glorified bodies. And if those days of tribulation had not been cut short, no human life would be saved. Period. Non-negotiable. But for the sake of the elect are Christian Gentiles and Christian Jews that will be saved during the 7-year tribulation period. People ask all the time, will people be saved during the 7-year tribulation period? The answer is yes. How will they be saved? By hearing the gospel. By grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if those days of tribulation had not been cut short, no human life would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, God's chosen ones, those days will be shortened. I'm going to give you some notes here that you don't have. Number one, in reference to the days. The days will be intolerable. Judgments are going to come down. The wrath of God is going to be exposed. The wrath of Satan is going to be exposed. It is not going to be a picnic. It is going to be a living hell. The days will be intolerable. Days full of agony that you've never heard about or seen before. A time of general destruction. Then look at that word elect. The word elect, when you look it up in the Greek language, means destined to salvation. In eternity past, if you'll think for a moment, God is all-knowing. Therefore, God knew who would be saved and who would not be saved. Knowing who would be saved, God is going to make sure that the gospel gets to you. The word elect, destined to salvation, but listen closely to the rest of that definition. But have not yet been brought to it. What does that mean? Number one, it means that you cannot save yourself. You cannot even decide to be saved unless the Holy Spirit has come to you and divinely persuaded you that you are born into sin. You are born a sinner. You are born in need of Jesus Christ. And you're not going to come to Jesus Christ to be saved unless you are first divinely persuaded to do that. Because on your own, you will not think of coming to Christ to be saved. I've heard many people say, when I get ready, I'm going to be saved. When I get ready, I'm going to walk the aisle. That's my decision. That's not what the Bible says. The decision to be saved is first prompted in you by the Holy Spirit. He's the enabler. He's the one that brings about divine persuasion toward divine things. And salvation is divine. Salvation is supernatural because it comes from God. So no human being alone can decide to get saved. It takes the Holy Spirit to bring that to you. So therefore, if God doesn't come to you first, you cannot come unto Him. Look at the next phrase. Should no flesh be saved? Why would Jesus say that? Number one, there will be warfare outside the city. Number two, there will be factions that will fight. And there will be massacres within, which would cause an utter depopulation of the whole country. Unless Jesus says it stops now. Back to the printout. And if those days of tribulation had not been cut short, no, not one, none, the Greek says, no human life would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, God's chosen ones, those days will be shortened. The Greek wording here implies less than a full 7 years, but stay with me. If you have a full 7 years, Jesus is saying there wouldn't be anyone left. Nevertheless, the 7-year tribulation will end on time. Why? Because God is in charge. In eternity past, before anything existed, the only ones there was the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And by divine decree, it was decided exactly how long the 7-year tribulation would be and when it would come to an end. And since it will end on schedule, there will be survivors. Look at the question, number one. Why must there be survivors coming out of the 7-year tribulation period? Why must there be Christian Gentiles and Christian Jews coming out of that 7-year tribulation period? Can just anyone out of that 7-year tribulation period walk into the millennial, which is the 1,000-year reign of Christ? No, they can't. Only believers in Christ that survive the 7-year tribulation, that were not killed for their faith in Christ or their witness to Christ, will walk in. So we need survivors to populate the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Why is that so? Because babies are going to need to be born. People are going to need to inhabit that 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we've talked about this. Let me go back for just a moment. Those that will populate or walk into the 1,000-year reign of Christ, they're going to have physical bodies like you have right now, okay? Because they survived the 7-year tribulation. They were saved by the grace of God. So they walk into the millennial, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and so it's time to repopulate during those 1,000 years. Well, babies are going to be born just like they are today, and they're going to be born with an old sin nature. And guess who's going to be there in glorious presence? It is going to be the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And He is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. Why is that so? Because the old sin nature is going to be active during that 1,000 years. And the Bible also says that Satan during that 1,000 years is going to be locked up. And he'll not be loosed until the 1,000 years is up. So nobody in the millennial can say the devil made me do it, because he's going to be locked up. But every baby born will be born with an old sin nature. Every person born is going to be in need of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to have to accept that gospel of Jesus Christ, be saved by grace through faith in Him. At the end of the 1,000-year reign, the millennial, all unbelievers, and there's going to be a lot of them, are going to be gathered together. Satan is going to be loosed. And he's going to lead an unbelieving army against Jesus Christ Himself. Guess who the winner is? Jesus Christ is going to be the winner. He's going to be the victorious one, the one of triumph. And then after the 1,000-year millennial, there comes the great white throne judgment. I had someone one day jump up and down and say, boy, that's the judgment I want to be at, the great white throne judgment. That's got to be a beautiful judgment. Well, let me tell you something. The great white throne judgment is for unbelievers only. They're going to stand in front of Jesus Christ, and he's going to judge them by the Word of God. No doubt that many of them have heard at funerals, maybe at some weddings, and maybe they went to church at Easter and also on Christmas and thought they were really doing God a big favor. But they've heard it a little bit all of their lives. And Jesus is going to say to them, you stand here only because you rejected me as your personal Lord and Savior. You decided to be your own God and make your own decisions. You thought you could make it through life with your own intellect and money that I had allowed you to accumulate just to see what you were going to do with it. But because you did not receive me as your personal Lord and Savior, and oh, by the way, you probably know that I died on the cross a long time ago. I died to pay your sin debt in full. So the issue is not sins, they've been paid for. The issue is unbelief in me. And I could just hear Jesus saying, it's not something I really want to do here, but you're going to be cast into the lake of fire that is eternal and everlasting. And you're going to have a body that fire cannot consume. And you're going to have that little worm, they call it. That's your conscience. You're going to remember every moment, every place you heard Scripture. That you heard about me. That you heard how much I love you. You heard how much I'm willing to forgive you. And I'm willing to have you into my family, the church, the kingdom. But you decided that this wasn't for you. You knew best. And so the reason you're going into this lake of fire is not because of me. Don't blame me. It's because of the decision that you made. I'm just going to put the stamp on the letter. Question, why must there be survivors? Here's the answer. You have to have people going into the kingdom. We understand that now. Number two, the largest group of survivors will be who? The escaping remnant of Israel. Maybe you don't know it by now, but two-thirds of Israel is going to be killed. Two-thirds of Jews. I thought that was God's chosen people. It is God's chosen people. But if you don't know it, over in Israel today, it's just like America. You have Jews that believe, and you have Jews that do not believe. There are those around, and they will pay a price. Now turn to Revelation, if you will, chapter 11. In fact, it's printed at the bottom of your page. And we're going to pick up this escaping remnant. In chapter 11, verse 3, we have the onset of the 7 years. The rapture has taken place. The Antichrist is now upon the scene. The Antichrist is a person. The Antichrist is also a system that will function on planet Earth. And what's going to happen? As soon as Israel signs the treaty with the Antichrist, I believe at this time God is going to send the two witnesses to Jerusalem. The two Jews who are going to proclaim salvation to the nation of Israel. I believe it will be out of their ministry that the 144,000. Now let me make this clear. These are not Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses love to say we are among the 144,000. And I love to ask the question, well, which tribe are you from? There are 12 tribes. 12,000 from each tribe, 144,000, get this, virgin Jewish evangelist under the protection of God himself. We'll talk about that later. I believe it will be out of their ministry that the 144,000 will be sealed and designated, for they have a purpose, and sent out into the world to proclaim, to make known the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. The king is coming and is going to set up his kingdom. Revelation 11:3. And I will give power. Underline the word power. And I will give authority and influence that will come from the living God. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. Underline the word two. You'll notice according to Mosaic law, there had to be two witnesses to verify the truth. And God is not changing here. He's going to verify the truth by these two witnesses. Look at the word witness. Please underline that word. The word witness actually means martyr. Those who are steadfast to proclaim the word of God even in the face of death. And here's what it means, witness. Dedicated to speaking forth the word of God and his judgments as his servants. Now most people say, I'll listen to the word of God, but don't talk to me about judgment. That's kind of the preacher who says, I'm here to preach nothing but feel good messages. And a lot of people say, that's all I want to hear is a feel-good message. I don't want to hear that stuff about the judgments of God, that there is a living hell, and God is going to judge us all from His Word. There are two sides to the coin of Christianity. One side is filled with love and forgiveness and compassion. Then there's another side to that coin of Christianity. It's called judgment. Did you not know that God is a holy God? He doesn't play around with His holiness. The word holy in the Greek means to be set aside for a sacred purpose. That applies to every Christian that is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Why is the Holy Spirit called holy? Because He's the one in charge living inside you, the Christian, and His responsibility is to bring about Christ's likeness in your life, is to mature you in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So He's holy, and He's moving you to be set aside for sacred use. In fact, today for sacred use. Next month, more sacred use. Next year, more sacred use. In other words, how close are you to Jesus Christ? How intimate are you with Jesus Christ? How's your intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll say this, it'll never be close enough. So when I die, I should be in the progress of getting closer and closer to my Lord Jesus Christ. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Underline the word sackcloth. It means they're clothed in mourning and repentance. In mourning and repentance. The word repentance in the Greek is metanoeo. It does not mean to confess your sins. Sorry, Baptist. I have had many Baptists in the past years say, you have to repent to be saved. Where do you find it? You can repent for 1,000 years and not be saved. Your sins have been paid for on the cross at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Brother, if your unbelief is not turned into belief in Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. But I grew up under the Baptist teaching. I did too. The word repent, metanoeo, means a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior. That's repentance. What is salvation? Belief in Jesus Christ who paid my sin debt in full. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Top of page 2. These two witnesses will prophesy 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. Then God will allow them to be put to death. Well, I guess there's a reason for that, right? Verse 12a, let's make a correction here. And they, it's not really they, it is I. I. And I heard what was said to the two witnesses. And I heard a great voice in heaven. The word great is mega. Magnanimous. Awesome. Powerful. Stronger than we've ever heard. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying unto them, the two witnesses, come up. Come up, you might want to make note, is a command. Why is come up hither a command? Because they've got to go through the kingdom of Satan to get to the third heaven. And Jesus says in a commanding voice with his authority and his power, come up through the kingdom of Satan and don't fear it. For he will not be able to lay a hand upon you nor stop you from coming up into the presence of my Lord Jesus Christ that I have called you. I hope you believe that, because at the rapture of the church, you're going to have to go up through what? The kingdom of Satan. Oh, he would love to stop you right there. But that's not going to happen. Is that correct? There you go. They've been killed, and the whole world is going to see their bodies. That's not a problem. We can look at what's going on in Israel every day if we want to. Anywhere around the world, the cameras are, we can see it. Is that correct? No problem. You can understand that. And what are they doing? They're lying on the streets of Jerusalem. With our current technology, the streets of Jerusalem are constantly in our living rooms on the news. Every household will see those two Jews lying on the street. I suppose to rot in that hot midday sun. Then after lying there for 3 days, they stand upon their feet. Now you just imagine what that's going to be like. I thought they were dead. I thought they were gone. And just think how their enemies and all the unbelievers have celebrated. Yeah, you two guys, you run around talking about Jesus and all this Christian stuff. Now look at you. You're dead. You're laying on the streets for 3 days. You're dead. We're happy. We're celebrating. Man, this is great. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Jesus Christ, the power of Almighty God, comes into those bodies. And they stand up. Brother, if you believe this, you've got to believe the rapture. Because when it comes your time as a child of the living God, you too will stand up by the power of Almighty God and be drawn into His presence in a resurrected, glorified body forever and ever and ever. And there's not a dadgum thing the Democrats can do about it. And some of the Republicans. Just think how CBS and NBC is going to report that one. Just think of how Pelosi's going to do all that. Well, it was Trump's fault. I don't know what happened. Here we go, folks. 12b. And they ascended up to heaven. That's the third heaven. Third heaven. What's your first heaven? What you see right here, the clouds, blue sky. What's the second heaven? Outer space. What's the third heaven? Above outer space. Where God dwells. I can't pinpoint it, but that's what it says. And they that have been called back to life, and they ascended up to heaven. There's two things here. Ascended up to heaven, this is part of the first resurrection. This is part of the first resurrection. Now here's something you've got to understand, and you'll feel a whole lot better in Revelation. The first resurrection is not one event, but a series of resurrection events. Right, Chad? Everybody says, boy, you're going up in the rapture. That's a one-time event. No, no, no. All righteous people will be what? Called up, out, whatever, to be with the Lord. There will be a series of resurrections, series of events. But longer they're under the what? First resurrection, you're okay. Did you get that, Baptist? Okay, let me repeat that. The first resurrection is not one event, but a series of resurrection events. As soon as God starts dealing with Israel, the supernatural comes in and becomes almost every day. Has God already in the past been dealing with Israel in a supernatural way? Yeah, 1948. Then we had a war there. Didn't last long. Sandstorm just came up out of nowhere. Wow. And you know the rest of that story right there. Let's go to verse 13. And in that very hour, there was a great earthquake. Underline the word earthquake. It means earthquake. Punishment for sin. Huh? Yeah. And a tenth of the city fell and was destroyed. 7,000 people, underline the word people, 7,000 tools of Satan vanish. Terry, where'd you get that? Unbelievers. Are they not tools of Satan? And what did God do with the tools of Satan? And there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell and was destroyed. 7,000 tools of Satan were killed in the earthquake. And the rest who survived were overcome with terror. Now don't get too excited here. And they glorified the God of heaven as they recognized His awesome power. You ever had somebody come to church? Something happened similar to this? Some kind of terror? Something happened that moved them, scared them physically, but not spiritually. Yeah, I was so scared to death, man. Can we go to church Sunday? I just need to be in the house of God. I'll feel a whole lot better. Physically scared to death, but not enough to be spiritually saved. Were overcome with terror, and they glorified the God of heaven as they recognized His awesome power. We are at the midpoint of the seven-year tribulation. Here's a question. Is there salvation by merely ascribing glory to the God of heaven? The answer is no. These Jews recognize now that the God of Abraham, the God of heaven, is certainly working in their midst. It's not a salvation experience. But because of their physical fear of what has just taken place, what are they going to do? They are going to flee, not all, but a remnant. Page 3. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child. Who is she? She is Israel. And Israel brought forth a man-child. I laugh every time I read man-child because I have heard some say Jesus could have been a woman. No. That's kind of like saying God was a cowboy. You know how I feel about that. I had a bumper sticker again in front of me the other day in Lindale waiting at the light. I wanted to get out and go tear it off. God is not a cowboy. He never was a cowboy. How can you read the book of Revelation and say God must have been a cowboy? Jesus Christ must have been a cowboy. Jesus Christ is holy God. And don't pull Him down to any human level. I'm not saying cowboys are wrong. I like my boots and jeans also. Call me redneck, it don't bother me at all. You know what I'm saying. Don't bring Him down. from what He is. And she brought forth a man child, the Christ child, a man. Here we leap the ages from the birth to the rule of His kingdom. 2,000 years or more, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now the verse backs up again to His ascension. And her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. In verse 6, we leap back to the midpoint of the tribulation. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's not 1, 2, and 3. Please understand this. It's not God the Father, 1, God the Son, 2, God the Holy Spirit, 3. They're all 3 God. It's God the Father, same line. God the Son, same line. God the Holy Spirit, same line. They're all 3 God, not 1, 2, 3. None is lesser than the other. The Godhead should feed her there 1,260 days. This is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. I want you to take your Bible, and you've already got it probably. We turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 through 16. And by the way, if this is your first time to hear Revelation, it's not Revelations plural, it's Revelation singular. Revelation is all about the unveiling of one, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. And when the dragon, who's the dragon? Yeah. Saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the two wings, underline that, the two wings, we're going to look at that here in a moment. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, Israel, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time and times and half time, that's 3.5 years, away from the presence of the serpent, Satan. And the serpent hurled water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman. If you have a difficulty with that, then go back to the Red Sea. He's doing now what He's already done with the Red Sea. Is that correct? Okay. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon had hurled out of its mouth. All right? Now, you see Exodus 19 on your printout? All right? Right below that. Much of what happened in Genesis and Exodus, we see a repetition of in the book of Revelation. And this is exactly what we have here. In Exodus, we have Israel fleeing out of Egypt with the Egyptian armies behind them. Look at Exodus 19:4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on what? Eagle's wings. Did we not just get through reading about eagle's wings? What is eagle's wings? I'll simplify it for you. It is simply the power of God carrying you. So the power of God was carrying the Israelites back then, right? The Red Sea. And guess what the power of God is going to do once again, as it did back there in the book of Exodus? The power of God is going to carry who? The woman. Who is that? That is Israel. The power of God is operative in Israel. Israel is God's chosen people, and He's going to deal with her again in the 7-year tribulation period. 2/3 of them will be persecuted. 1/3 will be left, a remnant. You know what a remnant is? It's a small group called out of a big group. America, there is a remnant of believers in the United States of America. a small group called out by the power of God from a big group. And God is working with that remnant right there. And the power of God is going to carry Israel again. Do you see what we're seeing here? You get to dealing with Israel in the 7-year tribulation, and guess what? You begin to see the supernatural power and work of God working with her time in and time out. Here we go. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now we go back to Revelation 12:14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. There it is again. That she might fly into the wilderness. Question. What happened back in Exodus when Israel was escaping? Pharaoh sent his armies and chariots out to destroy Israel. Where did God stop Pharaoh? At the Red Sea. The Antichrist is going to do the same thing. He's going to send an army after his escaping remnant of Jews as they are being hurried along by the power of God. What happens? The armies will be destroyed as they were at the Red Sea of the Exodus. And people say, you don't need to study the Old Testament. I beg to differ. The Old Testament is progressive, leading you up to the New Testament. And the New Testament progresses toward that book of Revelation, letting you know how it's all going to end right here on planet Earth. I'll say this again. I still find this with a lot of humor. When Cortez said, if we don't get a handle on this green stuff, climate control and everything, the world's going to end in 12 years. I got news for you. God's already ordained when the world's going to come to an end. And that's the one that I'm going to put my faith in right there, amen. Not our government. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given us. It is truly a day of thanksgiving. We thank you for unveiling the truth that we need to know so it will take away frustration and disappointment and fear and doubt. And when the storm does blow, and it is going to blow, it's blowing now, but it will intensify and get worse, then we will not be moved. We shall not be moved. But we will continue to focus on taking the gospel of Christ to the world that people may hear and be saved. That is our mission. That is our command from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not veer from it, for this we ask in His name. And we pray today, hearing this truth, we pray that the Holy Spirit will move in the lives of people today that are not saved. If the Holy Spirit is wooing you, He's courting you, He's ready to walk you down the aisle and say, come to Christ. We're ready to turn your unbelief into belief in Jesus. I'm giving you the faith to do that. What will you do with it? Will you say, Christ, I believe. I'm a sinner. Saved by grace only through faith in Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus died for me, and I believe that Jesus paid my sin debt in full. And I believe that if I receive who He is and what He's done for me, that I'm saved, signed, sealed, and delivered. And from that moment on, now it's up to you to begin that journey of Christianity, to pick up your cross and to follow Christ and be the witness He has called you to be in all places, at all times, in all situations, and to grow in love for Him and all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.